Very quick. I would love to be up on all that stuff. I'm just trying to give you a taste for there's 2,000 years of history of Bible translation and Bible preaching that nobody's aware of. And when you read it and you just get this big picture of it, you realize when we sing, "I owe a great debt," we mean it. Okay? All right, chapter 4. I'm going to try this. Don't know if we're going to do well. All right, first of all, write down the charge. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." What is the charge? Preach the word. All right. Underline that. Instantly. Without hesitation. In season, when it's popular. Out of season, when it ain't popular. Ain't is spelled A-I-N apostrophe T. All right. There are three elements to preaching. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Sometimes you can reprove somebody. You can notice the word "prove" in there. You can prove to them they've done wrong. Some people, you can't prove they're wrong. That's where you just rebuke them. You still say they're wrong. That's what John the Baptist did with Herod, didn't he? You have your brother's wife, and it is unlawful. And I don't care whether you agree with it or not, you are wrong. That's rebuke. To reprove is to sit somebody down and show them that they're wrong and try to get them to understand. Doesn't matter whether they understand or not. You still rebuke. What's the purpose of preaching? What's the third part?
Exhort.
Now, exhorting in your Bible is another word for preaching. Exhorting is urging, pleading, compelling, pulling. You heard about the preacher who went to the train station. He sat down there. It's 5:15 in the train. When he just smiled. The evangelist was with him. He says, "Why'd you bring me down here?" And the preacher said, "I just like to see something go that fast without being pushed." Because in his ministry, all he's ever had is pushing people to get them to do stuff. Exhort with how much? All long suffering. You need to put up with people and 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 put up with people. All long suffering. But what's going to motivate them the most? Great preaching? Sound effects? PowerPoint? Sound doctrine. With all doctrine. If somebody's not going to do it because it's right, then they ain't going to do it. Amen? Why? All right. You got the charge. All right. Why should, still under preach the word, why preach only the word? And why stay at it? One, because people will fall away. Look what it says. The time will come when they will not endure what kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Look at that word, endure. What is church? Sometimes it's an endurance. I don't want to be here. You ever been there? Just sat there like Bible Institute? I can't stand how long this is taking. Endure it, amen? There will time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. How come somebody will endure a 3-hour rock concert, but they won't endure a 50-minute message? Why will somebody sit down and watch a 2.5-hour movie and won't read their Bible for 20 minutes? All right, the time will come, and we are at that time when our general population can't endure. I know people, when I was preaching, and you probably were in a couple of churches like it, where people are like, if you preached over 25 minutes, you know, man, if you can't say it in 25 minutes, it shouldn't be said. Have you ever been in a church like that? Now, I understand that probably their preachers never preached more than 25 minutes. And probably sometimes they had people just drool on and on and on and on. But you know, we need to endure. Man, if you get somebody up here, and Dan gets up here and he preaches forever, I'd rather endure under Dan than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. We just got to endure. But he says the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with it. They don't care whether it's right. What does it say to Jeremiah? Preached unto us, what does it say? Right sounding words, not truth. I forget how he says it. What did it say? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Preach unto us nice sounding words. Don't preach the truth. Pleasant words, maybe that's exactly it. But after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Most people believe doctrines because it promotes their lust. Promotes the fact that, hey, I can go off, I can live with another woman and I'm okay. I can drink and I'm fine. They want a preacher to teach them that their sin is okay. That's what they want. You know what? Most churches will bless your dog, bless your cat, because they know that if they ever got up and they said, this is an abomination to God, their whole church would be empty in a half hour. So they heap to themselves teachers. You know what is filled with the radio and the television now? Teachers. Radio is filled with teachers. Charles Swindoll. Chuck Smith. Some of them preach great, really, don't preach much at all, and teach some great truth. But that's all people want. They want teachers. They don't want them really screaming their head off. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You ever? He's just a teacher. I've got some of his books. He's got some great thoughts and stuff.
Is he like a preacher, is it?
He's a California minister. Yeah. John MacArthur can teach. I've learned a lot from John MacArthur, but he's a terrible preacher. Okay? And you know, when you turn away your ears from the truth, guess what you're going to believe? What's the next one? Fables, fairy tales, and they shall be turned unto fables. They'll believe everything about the Christmas story that's not there in the Bible. They'll believe everything about the cross that's not in the Bible. your first charge is to preach the word. Secondly, 5, watch thou in all things. What does watch mean, Dan? Think about it. Watch thou in all things.
Be diligent to be aware of what's going on.
Good, good. Anybody, especially if you're a pastor, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're somebody in leadership, you got to be aware of more than your people. You're watching out for the enemy. You're watching out for poison grass. You're taking your sheep to a field. You got to make sure that grass has not been poisoned. You got to make sure the water hole is clean. They're not aware. They just go in there and they think, here's a new Christian. They go to the Easons and they say, I want a Bible. They point right over there. They bring a Bible and it says, I got me a Bible, preacher. It says, it's poison. It's a New Jerusalem Bible. It's an NIV. It's not a Bible. You've got to watch in all things. You got to be aware of what your people are watching on television. You need to be aware of what your people think about eternal security. You've got to watch out for error everywhere. Watch out all things, endure afflictions. There's his theme. Why does Paul repeat that over and over to the pastor?
It's easy for him to fall away, get tired and just worn out.
We forget that that is...
results or whatever.
That's true. We forget that half of the ministry is just endurance. You don't win anybody. You're really not helping anybody. You're a conduit. The Lord through you showing the truth. If anybody gets help, God did it. Amen. And if you're enduring, God wants you to endure. God made it. God put you in that place, and maybe having you sit in prison for 7 years may be the best thing. Endure afflictions. Do the work of a what? All right. These are the things that you're to watch in, meaning that you're to be focused on. An evangelist is a church planter. That is a biblical definition of an evangelist. What is the proper word for Bruce Fry, Buddy Blanco? What's the proper word? Revivalist. Motivators. Alright? They get us going, amen? They get us excited. But an evangelist evangelizes and prepares a church. Do the work of an evangelist. And I believe every pastor ought to be building churches, starting churches. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So second thing is, watch in all things. Third, all right, stand alone. Paul's leaving. Paul's saying bye. Sometimes the people you lean upon will be gone. And it's hard to stand. When my wife's mom died, it wasn't 2 months later, and her dad died. Just killed him. He so leaned on her. What would happen if I disappeared? What would happen?
We'll see you in May. We'll see you in May.
Yeah, we'll see you in May. That's right. Sometimes you gotta just... Paul is saying, Timothy, it's just you now. It's just you. Look what he says. I am now ready to be offered. Here's your next point. All right? Not only preach the word, watch in all things, but Paul says, go to your next main point. A was a charge. B, a joy. I am now ready to be offered. What's the word offered usually in reference to? Sacrifice. You know what he's thinking? When I die, I'm sure God's going to get the glory. Somebody's going to get saved. He's not saying, for I'm now ready to die. What a way to talk. No, he says, I'm ready to be offered. I have lived my life as a living sacrifice. I can't wait to die as the final sacrifice, that somebody would get saved. Somebody says, why did so-and-so have to die? So that you'd get saved. So that you would finally realize death is real. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've noted that some great men of God knew when God was finished with their lives. I've read biographies, and they could tell, yeah, my job's done. That's cool. That's a connection with heaven. And the Lord's saying, better get your house in order. Better get things all ready. You're coming home. And Paul says that. He says, I can see it up. Departing time. Flight number. I'm out of here. Amen. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now he's talking joy. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you think everybody ever got discouraged? Yeah. Did he ever quit? No. Discouragement is not sinful. Depression is. Staying discouraged. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Show you something here. What is Paul's greatest desire? Acts chapter 20. Let's see. I'm looking where he says... Yep, verse 24, Brother Dan.
But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Okay, I know you were just reading, but think about it, that I might... He doesn't just say, I just want to finish my course, but what are the two big words in there?
Joy.
With joy. I want to finish... I think Paul has joy in Acts 20. But he says, I want to make sure I keep this joy all the way through prison. And he says that. Look what he says. He says, I'm ready. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. He hasn't said, oh, I fought a stinking fight. What did it get me? It's not how he talks. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a reward, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day?
Judgment
seat of Christ. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Jesus said this. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now that's probably the rapture. No problem. But I think when you die, I don't think angels come and get you. I don't think Peter comes to get you. I don't think you talk to Peter at the gate. I think the Lord says, wake up. wake up. You're home now. It's the Lord you meet first. All right? He says, I love His appearing. Can't wait to see Him, is what He's saying. There's a reward for somebody who doesn't worry about the endurance, doesn't worry about all of the messed up, failed people in His ministry who've fallen away and walked away and everything. He says, I've just kept the faith because I kept looking forward to seeing Jesus. 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. There's joy, now there's concern. Concern. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Why shortly? He's going to die. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What would it take, Barry, for you to give up? Okay. There's probably any one of us, we have a sin factor. We have something. Balaam, all he needed is a few extra zeros on his blank check, and he was willing to change his message. Amen. What will it take for you to adjust your direction? Demas loved this present world and dropped Paul. He's departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia. Titus is in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Do you have any friends in the ministry? You better. Love on them, man. Only Luke is with me. Take who? Who? Who's this next guy?
John Mark.
Take Mark. Bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. I think Paul sort of come off of his high horse. I'll never have Mark work with him. Mark's a failure. Mark gave up on it. Mark's scared of some demon-possessed people. Mark, go home to your mama, Mark. I bet you John Mark's written the Gospel of Mark by now. And I bet Paul loved reading the Gospel of Mark. And I bet Paul said, you know, with everybody falling away, the people that I thought were going to be great didn't turn out great. Mark just stayed faithful. Barnabas sure helped Mark out, just like he helped me out. You know, bring Mark. Paul's humbling himself here. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Now, Tychicus is not a bad guy, but he had to go to Ephesus. There was lots of coming and going around this cell. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. So he wants a coat, overcoat. He wants books, but he says especially the what? What's a parchment? He wants the Bible. He wants the scarred parchment. His own copies. He says, I'm sitting here in this jail and I'm meditating on what I remember the Bible says, but I want to see it once again with my own eyes. There's something about reading the book. Okay? Especially the parchments. Uh-oh. Alexander the coppersmith, here's this warning, did me much evil. I wonder if Alexander was the one that put him in jail. Maybe Paul appealed and Alexander came back and convinced Nero to keep him in jail and ultimately to get rid of him. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Who? Paul's got a statement here. The Lord reward him. Now, Paul can't revenge him, but he says, the Lord's going to get him back. You need to trust that. Whoever hurts you, God will take care of him, all right? According to his works, of whom be thou ware also. What's his warning? There are people who want to bring down Christians. If they bring one down, they'll bring you down too. Be thou, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me. When I went up there, nobody would stand with me, defending myself, but all men forsook me when I was before Nero speaking. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Hey, it's very scary to go before a Taoiseach or a minister of justice, to go before the Garda, and a lot of Christians will fall out when you get in trouble with the law. Hey, how many friends does Ken Hovind have? I bet you he found out when he went into jail. A lot of people find all the faults with Kent Hovind. Go right ahead. I'm going to stay a friend. I know anybody wants to find fault with me, they can make a book of them. But I appreciate a friend. That's what I do. says, all men forsook me. I pray that they will, because God will hold you accountable if you make a commitment to be a friend and you say, well, you know, they're in trouble. I don't know, man. That might look bad on me. God will hold you accountable, man. I love how he says this. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I was never alone, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Hey, where was he concerned? Where was he concerned about hearing the preaching when he was in jail? In the palace. He said there in Acts, he says, all in the palace have heard about Christ because of me being in jail. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that by me, nobody else was there, but by me the preaching, the gospel preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. So if you had a map and you had Rome right there, guess what? If you could really start a fire in Rome without Nero and start a gospel fire in Rome, guess where the gospel would go? If all roads led to Rome, you can get the gospel back home where everybody comes to Rome, hears the gospel, and then goes back home with the gospel. He realized, he said, I'm right in the middle of this thing, and the Lord strengthened me so that I could keep preaching so that the whole world would hear from my little cell. Do you ever have a big vision? Do you ever sit back like Joseph and just start realizing, God has got great things for me? Oh, you're full of yourself, but you have a vision. God wants to use me, and I want to see that vision fulfilled. Took Joseph 20 or 21 years before he's sitting up there on that throne, and his brothers are bowing before him. He said, there you go. It was 20-some-odd years he's sitting there before the dream was fulfilled, but he never lost his dream, even in those prison cells then. Paul says it. He says, I got a vision the whole world would hear the gospel. And there it was in his lifetime. And he goes on. He says, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Hey, they even were threatening to put him into the Colosseum. And somehow, somebody changed their mind and brought him back out. I don't know. Maybe the lion wasn't hungry that day. I don't know. But it's a great boast. He says, God has me alive for a purpose. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to fulfill that purpose.
And,
no, sir. Out of the mouth of the lion? It might be, but in those days, nobody would have read it as the devil because everybody was thrown to the lions. Nero loved bread and circuses. He loved throwing people, whether they were barbarians. They loved those Colosseum activities. What do they call them? Gladiator contests and things? So I take it literally. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. I wonder if that's teaching eternal security. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Final salutation. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesimphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. So it's like saying to Timothy, Timothy, I don't know if you see Erastus, but Erastus is over in Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So Paul's getting ready to die. The apostolic powers are fading. He can't even heal Trophimus. He reminds, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Clauda, and all the brethren in Rome. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy what? Probably one of the most important things you can say as a pastor. If your health fails, if your mind fails, if your family fails, if your car fails, if your money fails, there's one thing that you cannot let fail. What is it?
Your spirit.
Your spirit. You better keep your relationship with God right and strong and solid. The Lord be, Jesus Christ, be with thy spirit. All right. Amen. Any questions? Lots of things.
Not ready now.
No. Great. Good. Next week we can do Titus and then review. All right. Let's stand. Let's pray. All right. Brother Kevin O'Keefe.
Thank you for the depth, and thank you for the richness of it all, Lord. Thank you so much, and please
We have a busy day, so please help us today. We pray
yes.
in Jesus' wonderful conquering name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.